Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
We've been checking in each month with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, looking at the meat export numbers. And Dan joins us again today. Dan, thank you for being with us. Let's kind of break it down, beef and pork. Let's go with beef. How do our beef export numbers look?
Good morning, Mike, and thank you for having me. June numbers were down again on beef, similar to what we saw in May, down a little over 30%. And, you know, honestly, we expected that we would be down in June. It's probably down a little further than what we had hoped. But the good news, and this dates back to the supply chain disruptions back in March and April, but I think the good news here is that the weekly data that we're looking at for the month of July and into early August here has a lot of positive indicators for a rebound. So I think what you're going to see is the timing is such that we'll see an uptick significantly across most markets in July.
Which markets for beef have been impacted the most by COVID-19?
Well, I think in the sense of the supply chain disruptions with the plants in March and April, we're seeing, you know, our larger markets are being impacted. You know, Japan, Korea, Mexico, we're all down significantly in both May and June. And I think, you know, the Mexico situation is one that, you know, they're still locked down in Latin America. So, you know, food service for the most part is still only takeout. So like I said, the last time we met, it's probably going to be take us the rest of the summer to get through and start to see some of the food service open up in Latin America. That being said, in Asia, most of the food service in places like Korea and Vietnam and Taiwan, China as well, food service is pretty well reopened and on the path to recovery. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but The real driver on these numbers is the supply chain. And like I said, it's looking much more positive for July.
What about on the pork side?
Well, the pork side continues to be strong. We were down 3%, June, but still at 207,000 tons. Strong month. It's lower than it's been, but that's seasonally normal in the summer months. The leader, though, of course, continues to be China at 75,000 tons. In the month of June, that is the lowest month since October last fall, but still it's about 80% growth year on year. So for the month of June, still pretty respectable. But, I think the China business will continue for the balance of the year. But our real focus here, and this is true on both beef and pork, is, in times of crisis, so to speak, around COVID-19, it just emphasizes the importance of our strategy, the industry strategy, and that is to diversify to as many markets as we can. And, the big players, Korea, Japan, Mexico, China in the case of pork, they're very important markets and will continue to be, but we're focused on, really developing some of these emerging regions in Central America, places like Guatemala, Panama, South America, Colombia, Peru, Chile, and even Africa, Angola, South Africa, Gabon. These are all small individually, but you add them up and they're significant and growing very quickly. So, this is really something that we're focused on for both the short and medium term.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So, Dan, let's as we compare to year-ago levels, let's look at volume versus value. What about the value of the export so far? How does that compare?
Well, looking at year-to-date, we on the beef side through June, we're down 10% in value. But on the pork side, we're up about 30% in value. So the pork continues to perform and perform very well. But I do think that as you look at the last six months of this year, we're still optimistic on not only pork, but beef as well. Beef will come back. We're starting to see it in parts of Asia where food service is reopening. We made a lot of penetration on the retail side, as you would expect, but now with food service reopening, that's an opportunity for beef, because especially in Asia where we're reopening on the restaurant side. You know, beef, U.S. beef is the marquee item in a lot of the food service. So I think that's going to bode well for us the last 6 months of the year. The other thing to remember is, from a supply side, we have an advantage. And Australia, our biggest competitor globally in an international marketplace, is down significantly on their numbers. Their forecast for the last half of this year on production is down significantly, between 10 and 20%. So we are well positioned to fill some of that void as well. So, I think the numbers are going to look much better than they do now. And hopefully we have some growth year on year for beef as well, as we look at the end of the year.
I was going to ask you about our competitors. You mentioned Australia with beef, and I was thinking about Europe and pork. How is COVID impacting our competitors?
Well, yeah, it's not specific, of course, to the U.S. Globally, a lot of us are in the same boat, of course. The one advantage, of course, we have in the U.S. is that we're really the premier supplier of high-quality grain-fed beef, in the case of the beef side. And most of our competition around the world is grass-fed. So therein lays a significant built-in advantage. And we're not only competing on the basis of price, we're better equipped to compete on the basis of quality. So that's a distinct advantage over our global competitors on the beef side. As far as it relates to pork, our premier competitor there is Europe, as you mentioned, but also Mexico and Canada. I think therein, we have a distinct advantage there as well, because we have record supplies of pork in the U.S. currently. So we have a supply advantage there as well. And I think we're well positioned to take advantage of it. We have been taking advantage of it, the case in point being our business to China year to date. But I think as we look to the last half of this year, there's a lot of reasons to think that once we get beyond this COVID impact in Latin America, the last part of this year could be very good.
Obviously, all markets are important, but you mentioned this earlier, but that Central American market, it really figures to be a key market.
Yeah, Central America, we have the CAFTA agreement, so we have a trade agreement in place that makes us very competitive from a market access standpoint and a tariff standpoint. But really, you're starting to see some emerging economies down there. Guatemala stands out. El Salvador stands out. Panama stands out. And you're seeing an increasing middle class, more spending power. At the moment, things are tough there with the tourism shutdown and food service struggling. But that's a short-term thing. They'll come out of it. And I think you'll see some this fall, we're going to see some rebound out of there. And you know what happens when you come out of these COVID lockdowns like we saw in the U.S.? People want to get out. They want to enjoy some high-quality dining. And there's no better products than U.S. beef and pork to fill that void.
So it sounds like you feel, and of course we don't know what's going to happen with the virus, but hopefully it continues. We can get it going down and eventually get to a vaccine, but you sound optimistic for strong sales the last half of the year.
Yeah, I am, Mike, and I think the one thing we've learned, there's two things we've learned from this whole COVID thing that we've been dealing with internationally since January in China. Number one is that you got to be flexible and fluid. I mean, every day seems to be a new discussion point as it relates to COVID. And it's a very moving, fluid picture. But that being said, the other thing we've learned is that people are still eating. Now, they may not be eating in the same places they were before. Maybe they're eating at home more and the retail demand is up. But we're adjusting accordingly. The industry is adjusting accordingly. And the good news is people are still consuming food in general, but protein in particular. And globally, we're hoping to get not only our share, but more than our share of that demand.
All right, Dan, thanks for the report. We'll talk again next month and get the latest numbers at that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. My pleasure.
All right, take care. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.